back here with our next authority for the 2015 Farm Science Review, Andy Niehaus. Is it fair to call you head potentate of the veterinary hospital at OSU?
I don't know. I go by a lot of different names.
So we're not allowed to use those words here, okay? Andy was out here with us last year. Decided we'd come back a little bit and talk about some of the things. The vet hospital at OSU, pretty active place these days. I know a couple years ago had a lot of things going on campus, and we kind of wondered what was going to happen there. You guys are hopping.
We are hopping. I know. I mean, you know, I live or work pretty much on the, you know, solely on the large animal side of things. The small animal hospital is currently expanding.
Right.
They are building the expansion and enhancement project, as they call it.
I almost got run over by a truck the other day coming across it.
So that's one of the kind of the big things, sort of the news in the college anyway. We just currently got a new dean, Dr. Rusty Moore, has kind of stepped up to take the place of Dr. King, who's actually still with the university, but moving on to other things. So that's certainly the kind of headline news in the last few weeks.
Well, since you're a Farm Science View, we don't care about doggies and kitties so much here. We got folks that are worried about those big animals. This expansion and growth on the small animal side, though, is starting to have some additional effect, I think, on the large animal. If nothing else, it's getting more attention to the hospital.
Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, we're, and I don't know how much of it's due to the expansion enhancement, but certainly our caseload is up. I think a lot of it's beef prices and things that's driving that market, but we've certainly not been short for work around that.
I don't know if you had a chance to check in. We have of course, the college tent over here, but they're bringing in the Marysville truck every day this year, and I haven't talked to them, but Jeff tells me that they claim they're busier and they know what to do with out there at the large animal practice.
I'm sure they are. I mean, we work in conjunction with them a good bit, and you know, see things that you know, they deem to be, you know, referral type cases, and we, you know, kind of stay in touch and work together in a lot of those types of things, but. I know we talked over the weekend on a case that they sent down to us.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out whether we would actually be able to get them in and out of here with as busy as they were. People can talk to that over there. I guess what I'd like to hear from you, though, what is really picking up? What kinds of cases are you seeing the most of these days that maybe people ought to start watching out for some issues?
Yeah, so... Our caseload, our population consists of, the first thing I'll say is we do predominantly individual animal type stuff. Now, we work in conjunction with the farm veterinarians very heavily, because many of the things that we see is a reflection of problems that are going on the farm, and I am solely within the veterinary hospital.
Right.
So sometimes I have a little bit of a disconnect there, and we need to work in combination with the farm veterinarians. We see a lot of pet animals. I mean, pet goats, pet sheep. We see a lot of club animals, club calves, club lambs, those types of things, where you see individual animal problems. One thing that I see picking up, in fact, we had two cases over the weekend, is block goats. And I remember last year kind of talking to you about
you missed the first one because the first one of these because you were dealing with one.
I was dealing with an emergency. And so we actually saw two on the Sunday night. The two emergencies came in and required surgery. And that's usually attributed to these goats getting too much concentrate type feed. And they end up having urolithiasis stones in the urinary tract that causes blockages. Seems like, at least over the last couple months, it seems like maybe we've been picking up a little bit on that. Another issue that we see, again, sort of individual animal things, but downer cows, we seem to have had probably four or five in the last month.
And you get those coming into the hospital.
They do, and usually they're higher dollar animals.
Okay, so breeding stock or high milkers or whatever.
That's right, breeding stock, high milkers, animals that have fairly high genetic potential.
Right.
Club animals as well, show type animals. We actually had a show calf that presented about 3 weeks ago that was at a fair, at a state fair. and was hit by a car. Got out of the pen enclosure that it was in and hit by a car. And so, you know, those types of things are you know, ones we see. So orthopedic issues is one of the things that we kind of specialize in. And then certainly infectious diseases as well. Those are types of things that we work in. You know, we need to work very closely with the veterinarian at home because, you know, we may see only one animal of, you know, a whole herd that's got a problem.
And that is actually something we hadn't talked ahead of time about doing, but I'm curious, is you and your colleagues with the farm practice or even there in the hospital, you mentioned the orthopedic issues that we're starting to see, that you're seeing in the lab. Nationwide, I think we're starting to see a few more of those, and the whole question about breeding and genetics and all that kind of stuff. What kind, as you're spotting those kinds of things, what are you doing to work with people other than just solve the initial problem?
Yeah, so counseling and education is a huge piece of the puzzle. It really is. For example, one of the problems that we see predominantly in club calves is animals that are bred for these really straight leg conformations.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what the show scene kind of wants, is they want these blocky looking calves. That looks like a body on four posts. And we see them, especially in the hind legs, where they start developing the problem we call spastic paresis, or Elso heel is another kind of lay term for it. And we see a lot of those. And again, the treatment is, there's really no good treatment for it, but the treatments that have been talked about are largely surgical, and so that's the reason that we see it. So, you know, for example, in an animal like that, you know, counseling the owners as far as breeding and, you know, why they have a problem. Now, I don't think I'm going to have enough clout oftentimes to convince these owners that they want to completely change the way they're breeding because they're the ones that aren't having a specific problem. They're doing well in the show ring.
Right.
So that becomes, it becomes sort of a little trade-off. And sometimes it's the price that they're willing to pay. But other times, I mean, you know, when they ask me, you know, why is this happening and why do we have three calves out of the last calf crop that's having problems with it, I mean, the really quick answer, the straightforward answer is it's the way that we're breeding these and it's genetic.
Well, you know, I've talked to some farms, and I know there's at least one geneticist in our audience that I've talked with a little bit too. And, you know, people are starting to at least yell about that a little bit more, and some of it I'm getting picked up is coming from the consumer side that's worried about treatment of animals and all that good stuff. Has the vet profession as a whole started to take any kinds of positions on, and I'll get to another one later, but this is the first we're talking about, some of this breeding and the effect it has on the quality of the animal's performance and life, in addition to, you know, the show grain?
Yeah, the animal welfare is a huge ticket item. I mean, it's certainly a hot topic, and you know, they are, you know, taking stance on
the welfare
certain,
side,
certainly
of it, sure.
Issues and different things where welfare is a, you know, kind of looked at. I would say that specifically for those types of breedings and things, I don't know of any, you know, specific legislation or act
from the AVMA.
But I certainly wouldn't be surprised if, you know, something comes down the pipe in a year or so.
I was just curious because I know we go through these extreme swings, especially for the show ring animals, and I've seen that most of my life, and it gets a little irritating after a while. Hey, I want to talk a little bit with you because I think every vet that comes up here today or tomorrow or Thursday is going to have to deal with this, and that is thinking about drug use and residues and, we'll get into somebody else later. I think we're going to talk about antibiotic resistance and that kind of thing. But therein, you know, when I go to my doctor, I got a good one, so I don't have this problem. But, you know, a lot of people go to their doctor and give me an antibiotic for this or give me this, give me that. Do we have the same kinds of things with folks coming in and wanting you to prescribe the latest miracle drug?
You bet. You bet. And the I guess with drug use, I mean, I see, you know, two huge concerns. One is antibiotic resistance, and the other is residue, and, you know, in meat and milk, and so those are the big things that we're concerned with. And then, you know, you look at animal, there's another flip side to things. And I mean, you could say that we should all go organic and not use any of these. But then there's a, you know, a flip side to animal welfare issues.
Right.
If you don't
absolutely
use it. And so it's a huge complicated web. And I don't know, you know, what the, there's no simple right answer. As far as, you know, having, you know, clients that come in and request, you know, we've got this problem and they, you know what's going on, or they think they know what's going on, and they want an antibiotic, or maybe they don't know what's going on, right, and they want an antibiotic just as a sort of shotgun.
It solves everything.
It solves everything, right? And that's not prudent use of drugs, for sure. And in fact, to prescribe antibiotics, we need what we call a veterinary client-patient relationship. So
sure,
that means we need to have a relationship with the client, in addition with the animal. It doesn't mean that, you know, if we're familiar with the herd that the animal's from and we're treating, you know, a specific disease, that there's a good likelihood, a high probability that multiple animals in the herd are affected. I mean, we don't have to individually examine every single animal that's affected to make a plan, but we at least need to have some familiarity with that in order to prescribe those drugs.
Okay, so why don't we see if we have any questions out here. We do have a few people. So any questions for Andy on what some of the concerns in the vet world are these days? Everybody's just sitting down.
Too early in the morning.
You know, they got a little bit of sun over here, and that's what it is. All right, well, Andy, before we boot you off here, I have to ask, particularly at this time of day on Tuesday, what have I forgotten to ask you about that we really needed to make sure we told folks?
I mean, I think we've covered the big things, and I've got another spot here.
Yeah, you're going to be back in about
in a
half hour.
It's been a little bit, so I can ruminate on that a little bit.
Okay,
then,
you be like all our friendly cows and go ruminate. Yeah. Andy Niles is head of the hospital on campus, I guess is the fairest way to say that, and deals with large animals. He's going to be around. You're the first one from the Vet College up here today, so we have to plug right over here. They have a tent. I haven't walked in there, but they usually have some kind of disease brewing or something that you can go in there and catch a flu, or I'm not sure what
it is.
They
had a really infectious disease outbreak, I know, last year. And
yeah.
I'm assuming they may have one again this year.
I'm not sure, but you need to check that out. But you're okay because the large animal vets are sitting right there in the truck, and they've got all their treatments with you in case the infection catches.
Well taken care of.
There you go.
That's a good place to be.
All right, Andy will be back here about 10 o'clock. We'll talk a little bit more with him about some of what's going on. I'm going to take a real break.